Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to 00-something. What episode is this?
This is 007.
Holy shit.
Yes.
I am so excited.
Oh, my gosh. And this is one that we're recording close to its air date because we've fallen so far behind.
Yep. Extremely close to its air date. Yeah. And this is kind of a crossover. This is the first time Scott Mosier and I have ever been on a podcast that wasn't Phoebe together.
Really?
Welcome.
Oh, is that my moment?
Welcome,
I didn't
Scott
know
Mosier.
If I was going to get a better intro than
Ladies
that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you might know him.
Ba-dum-bum.
One of the producers of the wonderful documentary Band Called Death, available on Blu-ray currently, now playing in
Wait,
some cities.
To...
Hang on, I'm All plugging. Right. We plug everybody. I'm going to plug your shit. You can also catch, this comes out this Thursday, which is October 17th,
You're
I think.
You're asking a lot of me.
If you just wait a little bit, you can go to the theaters and see a movie that this guy worked on called Free Birds.
Yeah, November 1st.
He went in there, did some writing on it. They're like, Scott, we need your help so badly. Now you have a writing credit on this.
I do. Exactly. Finally, somebody needed it that badly.
Listeners of James Bonding, I don't know what kind of a crossover there is with the Phoebe audience. I'm guessing not much.
Hey, me,
I don't know.
Partially.
Yeah.
How about that?
Matt,
yeah.
Thank you. Scott and I have discussed Thunderball on the old Phoebe.
We did.
Not well. We didn't look down on it too much, but we kind of
hated
it.
Let me get straight on this, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I know you and I we're lukewarm at best on this film.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And what about you, Scott?
Oh, my God. I have to say, this is why I watched it yesterday. And so I went on iTunes and I grabbed it. And my first thing was like, it's 130 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why? How could it be that long?
It's 130 long.
Let me ask this.
It's 130 long minutes.
Yeah.
Was there any...
And it's never exciting once.
I know.
Did any of us not find it a chore?
This is weird because, you know, maybe second only to On Her Majesty's Secret Service, I find this to be one of the most polarizing Bond films. You love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like already there's been a bunch of people tweeting at us saying, I can't wait for Thunderball. I love that film. I love that film.
Oh, we are going to tell
them. What that is.
We're going to let them know what's up.
I did not write down awesome.
In the way that...
Well, I mean, some of those boobs.
I will say awesome. That. I did say that to Matt.
The women are fantastic.
I said great boobs.
Yeah.
Great boobs in this film.
There's a lot of... And, like, they're sizable.
Yeah.
Definitely, like...
I feel like that's what Cubby was into, right?
Yeah, they have their own sort of physics.
They blew all the money on boobs.
Yeah. In the way that our Amanda and Maria episode contrasts with the Alley in Georgia, this will contrast with the Casino Royale episode because that was a huge love fest last time, and this will probably be a little bit of a, you know.
We love, Matt and I love James Bond, but we're realists about it. Like, we understand when stuff doesn't fly. Scott?
I haven't watched one of the older ones in a while. It does make me want to go back and watch some of the other ones.
This is something we ask.
Holy shit.
We ask all...
Can I just say, too, that this is... We're entering a really tough time for me. These lesser Connerys and then the Brosnans, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. You know, that's the way our schedule's going.
I am dreading.
It's going to be a rough few weeks.
I'm dreading Die Another Day. I am so dreading.
It was really rough. Like, I would watch a scene. I was like, why is this happening? And then I'd be like... Like, there's a scene where he's like... It really, really felt like a movie that was like... Remember how Robert Rodriguez made El Mariachi, and it was like, I got a turtle and a bus and a gun.
Yeah.
It was just
this
like,
this is what we can do.
We got an underwater camera, a helicopter,
and a jetpack.
Some sharks, and a jetpack.
I also love that they, I'm assuming, and I didn't read up on it at all, but they're really killing sharks.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an episode of Chopped. They give you a certain amount of ingredients and
make,
then make
a movie.
Yeah.
It's like the 24-hour film festival or 40-hour, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the opening scene. is like, I didn't even understand what was going on. He's at a funeral. And the next thing you know, he goes to this house. And then it's like, and I'm used to James, you know, the new movies are just like parkour and fucking crazy shit. And this one is just like, we got a room. We got some old furniture, a vase.
And a guy that's got to play a lady.
A guy in a frock. And
guy in a frock. Because
it just keeps cutting to them going like, throwing things at each other.
Yeah. Well, let's in high speed.
Well, let's think about this.
Right.
It's the well. First of all, we like to ask all our guests first. What was your first James Bond movie? What did you see first?
Oh, what was the first one? I remember I saw Octopussy in the theater.
That was my first.
I think that's the first one I saw in the theater, and I don't.
That was you.
You guys are
that
very.
That was me.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. First hand job and our first James Bond. Yeah. Anonymous hand job.
He was playing at the Pussycat Theater, the Octopussy Cat Theater, and I was in a raincoat. Yeah. Really special. Oh my god. Wow. Closure.
Closure with Mosier.
Why is that 10-year-old in a raincoat? Oh, I don't know.
Because I had to come in on his shoulders so he looked like
an adult.
How old are you?
And I was just pants up to my neck.
How old are you, Scott?
42.
Oh, okay. I'm 40, so we're, yeah. Yeah. That
old fucking Jesus, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, respect.
What was your first one? My Octopussy was the first one I saw in the theater. And then I pretty much think I saw quite a few in the theater.
The first one I ever saw in the theater, I think, was GoldenEye.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was before, what do you call it, right? The Never Say Never Again, which is a non...
Well, that was the same. That was the year, right?
It was the same year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I saw them both in the theater.
Yeah, I guess I must have, too. But that one came out later, right? Octopussy came out first.
Yeah. And beat it in the box office.
That's right.
Which we'll get to when we eventually do Never Say Never Again.
We should settle that, because that's been the most asked question.
Of course we're doing that.
It probably is a bonus episode on the show.
If Sean Connery shows up as James Bond in any way, shape, or form, we will cover it. It's just our duty as James Bonding hosts.
Yeah.
So you saw Octopussy. Did you love it? Did you hate it?
I liked it. I mean, I remember the advertisements where he's in that little plane and he flies through the hair and like... It actually had exciting moments.
It did. I love that movie.
It is so much more exciting than this movie. Thunderball is very interesting. It's the James Bond movie right after the what some will call the quintessential James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Goldfinger. No. So it's right after Goldfinger. Huge success. Movie's crazy big. I did read that this movie in 1965 turned a profit of $25.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the biggest grossing Bond film until Skyfall, right?
Yes.
That's
Get
crazy.
Get the fuck out of here.
And the next closest movie profit-wise that year was Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, my God.
And that made like $6 million
what
profit.
What did Thunderball make?
It made $26 million profit.
Jesus.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
And yet it's
Of course Connery's pissed off they didn't give him a fucking raise.
All right, yeah, now I'm starting to see it.
Of course he is.
After that one or before that
Ever.
One?
They never gave him a raise.
They never gave him a
they
raise?
They just had him on the same contract, and that's why he was like, fuck you guys. And then that's why they had to pay him $1 million for Diamonds Are Forever, and then he was like, well, I'm just going to give this to Trevor, because fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can see his like disdain for this franchise happen. In fact, I was so bored with Thunderball, I made a graph. So this is how my interest in the Connery Bond films relates to Sean Connery's interest in being in them. All right, Dr. No, he's fresh.
Yeah,
it's exciting. Me too.
Yeah.
It's fresh and
Great.
Exciting. It's kind of cool. It's new. He's from Rush with Love. Oh, he's really found his stride. He's still fresh, but he's got some confidence. Me too. Goldfinger, top of his game. He's loving it. He's just having a good time. Me too. Thunderball.
Big dip.
Been there, done that. Dips. You Only Live Twice.
Huge dip.
Same with me. Couldn't be interested at all. Diamonds Are Forever. He is maybe Walking Dead. He couldn't care less. Conversely, my interest shoots and skyrockets up.
Because he's so indifferent?
Because the movie's so bad, it's one of my favorite
movies.
Oh,
I love it. I love it.
It really is.
That might be my most rewatched James Bond movie.
Same here.
Diamonds Are Forever. Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Plus, you get to see his ass.
Yeah.
You
know,
really?
There's something we should talk about with this movie. It's got to be the worst screen toupee I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
His?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
It wasn't that good. I mean, I wasn't... The amount of details that I found so much more distracting.
That's the least.
Like from like there was like a ceiling on everything. It was like when he escaped, he beats the guy up, and I still don't know why he beats the guy up in the parlor. In the dress.
I'm not exactly sure. Either.
And he climbs on the roof. He puts on the jetpack to fly 10 feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how else feet. Are you gonna get over the wall?
We could have flown over like Buckingham Palace. He could have gone down a drain pipe.
He could have like flown to M's office.
My favorite thing in that scene is when he uses those reverse water cannons, and it hits two of the guys, but one guy's a good 3 feet away, but he's already doing this like I'm hit by water.
Oh my god.
He sidles over into the water.
Oh. Totally. I was watching that too, and I was like, fucking water hoses?
Yeah, I'm like, why?
Just shoot him.
Yeah, why not?
You have a license to kill, you got like riot control hoses.
You have a license to hose.
Also, at what point does Q add that to the arsenal of the Aston Martin? What is it? When does he think, you know what we might need on this, car?
Water tanks.
This car that it's has his machine guns.
It's when it's in his personal storage unit in London, Matt.
The actors were like, I could not stop laughing because it seemed like they were all not trying to, like, all you had to do is step a foot in either direction to evade.
Or not, though, if you're the one guy, don't walk into the water.
But they were all just, like, flailing their arms and, like, running right into it.
I think
it was not a strong beginning.
apparently the water hose was the crowd control method of choice in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. We know.
They were trying to be topical.
Yeah. Also, there's a couple things that really bother me, and like this is the first instance of it in the movie. When he lands the jetpack, I've seen it in the behind the scenes thing when he grabs the cooling tubes on the jetpack, and the guy who actually flew the jetpack laughs at that scene because his hands would just burn off if he grabbed the jetpack like that.
Gotcha.
So he throws in the trunk, the bulletproof screen comes up. But they weren't quite sure what the location dirt would look like, so they just put orange dirt on the back of the Aston Martin.
It annoyed the shit out of me.
I was like, what is this orange dirt?
Yeah.
And then it's as orange as the blood is red when he gets shot in the leg.
Oh my God.
So ridiculous.
I did write furniture fight. Super boring.
I wrote, let me pull out my Thunder notes. I like to add notes to the title of any James Bond movie when I make notes. It's really exciting.
It makes the experience.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better about myself. Here we go. First note I wrote down. He stops to throw flowers on the dead person. After he's beaten the lady dress man.
Oh, he kills it. He, like, breaks his neck.
Yeah, and on the way out.
For no reason other than the guy was impersonating a woman.
That was frowned on.
He did fight back. So,
really.
Yeah, we're still a few, like, 5 years
homophobia.
From Python. Like,
gotcha.
It wasn't that well documented. But he stops to...
He stops, goes back, grabs the flowers, and then, like, just...
Okay, so yeah, he stops to throw the flowers and escape for his life. Jetpack happens. Great. Now, my notes stop. This movie I found the hardest to keep attention.
Yeah.
But the scene where he calls... Okay, so he gets hurt, right? Like, this is why he ends up at the Thunderball place?
Are we moving ahead this quickly?
Where are we?
Well, I got some notes about this opening.
Please, go, man.
I mean, the opening is awful.
Is it maybe the worst opening in a Bond film? Or at least just the least dynamic, even with the...
Even with a jetpack?
Yeah.
Even with a real-life jetpack? Yeah. Yes.
No, I wrote down... But the jetpack is like... It's 2 feet. He goes 2 feet.
Yeah. He should at least be trying to get to the top of a building or something. Like, use it. I wrote down, why is he fighting Jack Lemmon in Some Like It Hot? And they go under crank crazy on that camera. Everything's sped up.
There's tons in the movie.
Yeah.
The boat. Oh, God. Yeah.
There's so much under cranking. But there's weird shit, too, where it's just like wide shots of people walking. I'm like, I'm so glad it's going by faster.
Yeah.
But, like, why? Like, why is everybody suddenly, like, moving quickly?
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was crazy.
What if they had it at original, like, at regular speed, and then someone at the studio was like, we need this under 130 minutes. And they're like, we're not cutting anything.
Maybe.
Oh, speed up the footage.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. Every time, and I wish I had downloaded the soundtrack to this movie, but every time they go underwater, even at the end battle, they just play the most soothing music.
I can speak to this a little. And they do that. Ba-dum, bum.
Yeah.
Ba-dum, bum. Because that was the original theme song called Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And Dionne Warwick sang this song. And Cubby Broccoli goes, where's Thunderball? There's no mention of the word Thunderball. And they're like, we got to have a song that says Thunderball. So they ditched the song and then did Thunderball with Tom Jones.
Nicely.
Was it going to be titled Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
No, it was always going to be titled Thunderball. Oh. The song was called Mr. Kiss.
The that's club they end up
Kiss
is
Bang
the Kiss
Bang.
Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Yeah. Where, that would have been a better title.
Yeah,
Thunderball is so... Like,
it's a better movie.
It's only like one...
Yes, it's true.
Isn't it just the moment where he's like, Operation
that's it.
Thunderball.
Operation Thunderball.
That's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. I just like doing his voice. £100 million.
£100 million.
Okay, so he gets hurt, presumably. Who's the girl with him?
I don't know. She's French, I believe. I thought she was French.
Yeah, there's just...
I was completely confused.
I'm talking about at the very beginning.
Oh, she's Asian, right? Isn't she Asian?
Who the fuck
just
knows?
Just the fact that we don't know.
There's no information coming out of that opening. You don't know who the funeral's initials are, JB. I remember that.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be people coming to James Bond's funeral.
No. I think you're meant to think that just for a second, then they pan up to the balcony and he goes, he has the same initials as you. I don't make
it. And a really bad camera move. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
and this
the
isn't
the clunkiest camera move ever.
This isn't anything anybody needs to email in and explain. We're asking this rhetorically. We almost don't want to know because it's just.
It's not going to make the movie better.
Yeah, it really isn't. I'm sure there's an explanation for what
somebody
this scene
should take
means,
fucking Thunderball and do a recut. You could recut that movie into like 90
you can make
minutes.
It a nice, quick 120.
Although you can't do anything with like. That fucking moment of just two armies of guys
two armies swimming of slow-moving people. Oh, my God. I
fast-forwarded
literally...
that, and when I looked up on the screen as it's fast-forwarding, I'm like, wow, this is still moving a little slow.
That's amazing.
I couldn't believe it. As they're parachuting into this thing, because it had been... It had been 10 years since I've seen Thunderball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it had been about 10 years. Like, when I first got the DVD of it, I watched it, and I was like, that's that. Thanks. So it had been a while, and I actually completely forgot about all the people parachuting in.
Yeah. And I saw it in the theaters about 10 years ago, and I have to say it was much better. Much better.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how that
better
happened.
Better in the theater?
I don't
know.
Well, probably because of the hand job.
That's right. Yeah. You were there.
I'm always there.
Oh, if you need a handy.
Just think of me.
If you're in a theater, even if you don't want it, I'm there.
If you say like, Mosier news. Three times, he
appears
with his hand already on your dick somehow.
I'm a hand job genie.
We didn't even have a guest for today, and his name came up three times, and there he was.
We didn't record the hand job part. Okay, so now he ends up at a place. Now this makes more sense, much more sense in Never Say Never Again, where he has to go.
He ends up at a facility for sanitarium.
Yeah, because he's a little older.
Yeah,
he's getting
He ends up at a sanitarium.
Too many free radicals.
Yeah, with Dr. Hackenbush.
Oh, jeez.
But before that, it goes right to the bad guy, right? It goes to the titles, and then it goes to the guy pulls up. The guy pulls up on the street. He parks his car, and then the cop's like, oh, sorry, you cannot. And they're like, oh, of course you can park. Like, the guy's like...
You're a bad guy.
To establish that he's really powerful, he's allowed to park wherever he wants.
That's what most powerful people do, you know?
And then he walks through that, like, insurance
office. Yeah. You just reminded me of the scene you're talking about, because I've forgotten everything about this movie in the last 6 hours.
Well, this is the first ever thing that they'll repeat many times where they'll... Spectre will chastise someone and you think they're going to die and they kill the guy next to you. No, they did it in From Russia with Love.
Yeah. It's always a misdirect with the Spectre.
Is the guy, because I'm not that familiar, is the guy who, like, there's that, then they goes in that scene and then there's the bad guy with the cat who's, like, sitting behind, like, what looks like a garage door opener that broke.
That's exactly what it is.
Ken Adams is like, well, we can't afford to fix the motor, so this is perfect.
It was just so weird. It wasn't even like it was an interesting screen. It just looked like looked like he was like starting the meeting and he was rolling it up, and then it was like.
And what's strange about it too is that we've seen Blofeld, right? We saw him in From Russia with Love.
I had no idea.
No,
who
you
it
never
was.
See his face.
What?
They don't, you don't show his face because it's the guy who plays Professor Dent that plays him in that movie.
Oh.
And
so
you don't see his face until...
until the next one.
Yeah,
until,
Donald Pleasance.
Until what? Donald Pleasance, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever see the dude's face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the next one.
And Diamonds Are Forever. And...
Honor, Majesty's Secret Service.
When does he die?
In Not Until For Your Eyes Only.
Oh, wow.
You know, cold opening of that.
He does not die until the last episode of this podcast.
That's right. By the way, that room that they're recording... where they're doing their Spectre meeting in,
yeah.
is if you are listening to this, that's what the room looks like where we record our podcast.
Yeah,
we sit in these comfortable
exactly
chairs.
Like that.
Yeah.
Katie actually has,
behind the little...
Katie, she has all the buttons.
You can't
she
see
can
face.
Kill. She can chastise Matt and then kill me. yeah, so...
Opening titles and songs. Do we need to say anything about...
I mean, I love a good Tom Jones.
Yeah.
I love the opening titles are fun.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, all right.
I love, by the way... watching this movie to the completion, and then
I think I do think the song was a little grasping.
Mm. Oh yeah,
like it was one of those rhyme things where it's like, what rhymes with ball?
Oh yeah,
like it was like anything to kind of throw it together.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
I mean,
no,
it was
legend has it
together.
Too that Tom Jones fainted on that last note that he had to hold.
Really?
Yeah, that's the story.
Do you know that Johnny Cash recorded and submitted a song?
I do. I own it. It's unbelievable.
Is it Thunderball?
Wait, what?
You don't know
the
it?
Recording exists?
Yeah, I'll bring it up right now.
Oh, we are in for a treat, listeners.
It is as country and Johnny Cash as you can be, but with some trumpets and horns in there.
But is it like it's Thunderball?
It's something. It wasn't even something they approached him about. It's like
I want to
write
it.
A song for the Jim Bond.
I like James Bond, and
I'm going to do Thunderball.
Hold on. Here comes. I've got a bunch of unreleased Bond songs.
I'm extremely excited about this.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
So far,
it's pretty awesome.
I fucking love this. Oh, fuck yeah!
There's a rumble in the sky and all the world can hear it call.
It's so spaghetti western.
They shudder at the fury of the mighty thunderball.
Oh, I love this.
That's amazing.
The power of her engines now is drowned in the sea.
Is he referencing
the force from within her is somewhere running free?
I don't think he knows what it's about. Unless he read the book or something.
Thunderball, your fiery breath can burn the coldest man.
Fiery breath.
And who is going to suffer from the power in your hand? Thunderball.
I love this.
Somewhere there is a man.
Okay, I'm going to transition us to a little bit of Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang.
Oh, please.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, that is Bondy.
I think I've heard this.
This is some struggling rhymes, too, you'll hear. Also, there's like a 40-second intro.
I don't have a problem with that. I like when they reference themselves.
I don't know how long this goes on before she sings.
This is like Thunderball.
Would have been perfect.
Oh my god.
He's tall and he's dark, and like a shark, he looks for trouble. That's why the zeros double. Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
It sounds almost
he's
like
Dr. And he's
Seuss.
Smooth.
Yeah, it he really does.
It sounds Seuss-y.
You like vanilla.
Yeah, all that.
I love this.
The gentleman's a killer.
I have not heard this.
Mr. Kiss,
I have everything Dionne Warwick ever did.
Here's what we're going to do from now on.
Yeah.
We'll do a segment that if the movie has an alternate song, I'll play it.
All right.
Because there's a lot.
He cuts through like every day.
I want to hear this.
The last, he's fast, and he's cool, he's from the school.
When does she say kiss, kiss, bang, bang?
Loves and leaves them,
she does. Here, right here.
Mr. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
And then hit us with... I'm going to give you Goldfinger since we've already done that, but...
Oh, this is an alternate Goldfinger?
Yeah, but it wasn't proposed for the movie. It's just Anthony Newley doing a version of...
So he was so inspired by the movie that he decided to write his own.
I think, didn't he have something to do with writing the song or something? The man with the Midas
touch. I like this.
And he laughs at one point in this. Spider's touch.
That's real boppy when you hear such stuff. Yeah.
Cold. Oh, I like that time signature change real quick there. Beckons you to enter his web of sin.
Oh. But don't go in. Still do it.
Scott, it's still great.
Do it. Golden words
he would pour. Oh. Scott's rarely seen me be this happy about something. All
right. I'll fade it out, but there'll be more of that to come.
Hit us with Tom Jones.
Oh, you
hit us with
Tom
the
Jones?
Legit Thunderball, okay. So we can all get a little context for the average listener who maybe hasn't turned on the movie in a while.
Okay, 1 second.
Just play it at double speed.
For the lucky listener who hasn't turned on the movie.
I actually. It's a strange watch. There's some pretty weird stuff in it. She
always runs while others walk. Oh my god. Tom Jones is quite the Welshman.
Yeah.
Is that a compliment or what?
I think it's a compliment. I like whales. Their alphabet's great. So while this is happening in the movie, you're seeing underwater ladies getting a hint that most of the movie's going to be underwater.
Yeah. Which they say the word a lot.
Which?
Oh,
underwater.
Yes.
They go
turn on the underwater lights.
Yeah, they want
turn on
the underwater landing lights. I'm like, what? Why would you say that?
Open the underwater hatch.
This camera shoots underwater, James.
A totally random thing, which has nothing to do with James Bond, but in one of the scenes was the guy who's in The Shining who plays the guy who kills his family.
Oh, yeah. The bartender guy?
Yeah. The guy who was the innkeeper before him.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the movie.
Grady?
I was like, holy shit. Grady's in the movie, yeah.
Bartender. The guy that wipes him off in the bathroom.
Wow.
Yes.
Grady is in the movie. Is he one of the bad guys? Or is he at the...
What is he?
No, isn't he
popped up
in
something else, too, recently.
He's somewhere in there. I was super excited.
Yeah.
Scott gets excited when anyone from The Shining shows up.
You guys keep talking about
that's why. That's why his favorite Robin Williams movie is Popeye.
It's true. Oh, I love Popeye.
So do I. So do I.
Don't get me started about Popeye.
Okay, so here's this now. So now he's at this retreat sanatorium, whatever the fuck we'll call it.
Yes.
Getting get some traction happening. The machine that Scott didn't care for. And,
oh, the fuck,
that
like,
thing,
that
what is
so
that scene
weird.
Doing in there? And it's under cranked again.
Well, the POV of, like, first of all, like, his POV toward a clock, like, thrusting
towards
the clock.
Here's my question to both of you, gentlemen. Have either of you been in traction?
No.
No.
Okay.
And I don't imagine that it's a machine that simulates humping.
I don't believe I've ever had traction. I've been in traction.
They're only four movies in. They haven't run out of clever ways to kill James Bond. You don't have to put him in a sex stretch death machine. You know,
Death machine is the greatest metal band name ever.
But then it's like all it is like a random hand comes in and cranks it up.
Yeah.
And then he starts humping, and the whole time he's going like, "Hey," and he's like really upset, and then he blacks out. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the woman's like, "Oh my gosh, she could have died."
He doesn't
himself. Let's just say this: this happens after he tries to rape her initially.
He's really rapey.
Right. Well, he extorts sex from her by
the attempted rape.
She saves his life.
Yeah.
And his reward
for her
is to extort her into sex.
Well, then I better not say anything. Let's fuck.
It's good we didn't have Allie and Georgia on this episode.
He kisses her, And she goes, I'm not into that. She puts him on a traction machine. He's like, he's tractioned to the point of blacking out, apparently.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and he's fine. And then the girl's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. And he's like, I won't tell my boss if you fuck me.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God, that is
yeah.
serious.
And then
HR
it fucking cuts
complaint.
Him walking out the door and he goes, see you later.
Yes, that's the worst part. Yeah. He just
so dismissive.
Oh my
yes.
God.
Yes.
So fucked up. He almost rolls his eyes.
Also,
like, oh, she's still talking.
We're skipping so over the scene up. Where he sees that some shit's going down at this place he's at.
Yeah.
Just happens to be there.
Yeah.
Shit's going down. He picks up the phone. He calls up Moneypenny. Moneypenny at first is like just playing around with him a little bit. And then he threatens to spank Moneypenny by saying, I'll put you over my knee. And then Moneypenny suggests that it would be on yogurt and lemon juice. What the fuck does that mean?
No. She says, what she said was, he probably doesn't have the, because he's living on yogurt and lemon juice, he's not the James Bond of, you know, steak and whatever
right.
the fuck he eats, where he would be able to spank her properly.
I was playing solitaire at this point. Already.
Wrong movie.
No, she was sort of saying, she was playing back with him going like, well, now that you're eating lemons and fucking yogurt, you're not man enough to spank me. And he's like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to go force a woman to have sex with me.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think this is the height of James Bond rapiness.
I think you're right.
This movie really, really stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, I think you're right. In fact, I was watching this and through the lulls and through that weird stuff, I had a realization that I may actually prefer Never Say Never over this movie.
Well, I was thinking that too, and yeah. I look forward to revisiting it.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't seen Never Say Never again since it was on HBO in the late 80s.
Mm.
Like, that's the last time I saw it.
Oh, boy.
I haven't seen it since the theater.
Oh, that was...
Yeah.
I remember.
It's always...
It was 30 years ago, guys.
That's why I love that movie.
Okay, so he does some James Bond investigating. He sneaks into this room, right? The guy thinks, like, oh, God, the guy's coming. I'll hide behind this door, pull out my gun. Guy's not going to see me. Then the guy goes into the other room, and then he's like, I better get out of here quick, but stops for a grape. This is the second time he stops
he
to do something unnecessary. I am just so annoyed with this. And then I wrote, my next note was, yes, this is the rapiest movie of all time. And do you think the fire alarm that he hits
maybe
on the way out...
Maybe next to Cape Fear. Let's delete.
I don't know.
Okay.
I would put those two together.
Rape Fear. It's not even about the rape. It's about, like, he... basically has adopted the attitude of just like, I don't care what you say to me. It's like women are like a dog whistle. He just doesn't hear it, and he's just like, I'm going to have sex with you.
Yeah.
He's so like, just like...
Is this...
He disregards them so much.
Is this
it's
the,
messed up.
Is this the James Bond that is born after Vesper? Is this what happens to him?
It must be. Yeah.
Who's Vesper?
Vesper from Casino Royale.
The one that screws him over.
The woman he falls in love with.
So it's a reaction.
Like, because I feel like he gets super rapey, and then he meets Tracy, and then his rapiness subsides.
Right.
This is the rape years?
Yeah, I think these are the rapey years for James Bond.
I have to bring up the mink.
The mink glove, yes.
The mink glove. Because it reduces tension.
Oh, I know. I remember from the theater, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That'd be a great hand job.
Oh, geez.
We should do it. And now the mink hand job.
Katie, just don't tell anyone.
There's a 6:45 Gravity playing over at the Americana if you want
to.
Doesn't
going?
Matter.
Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
We have to see it.
Yeah. Well, you guys are going to have a great time.
Yeah,
Let's
we
see
will.
It, Scott.
Yeah.
Okay, so... this is now the plot. The plot of this movie sort of starts to take shape, and I use the word plot loosely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very thin plot to this movie.
Well, should we talk about that? That whole plot, the Kevin McClory, that big controversy? Or do you want to save it for Never Say Never? Because it's got to be addressed, or else we're just not doing our job.
Okay, here's the deal with this movie. Scott, are you familiar with the legal troubles of this movie? The legal woes?
Thunderball?
Yeah.
No. Somebody sued them for...
This is a lawsuit that went on from 1966 until 2006.
Okay.
Yeah, 40-year lawsuit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
They kept going back and forth and back and forth. This
it's appropriate that it's Thunderball that it took that long.
Yeah. Folks, so Kevin McClory was a gentleman who helped Ian Fleming come up with the story for Thunderball.
Because they were writing a screenplay.
Because they were trying to write a teleplay.
Teleplay?
Yeah,
really?
That's what I read.
And then there's a third guy, too, and I can't
remember.
Yeah,
John...
was Thunderball a book?
No. Thunderball, no, was not a book initially.
Gotcha.
It was just done under the guise of, let's make a screenplay about James Bond. Let's try and get this to work, because Casino Royale had happened, the CBS Casino Royale, and no one enjoyed that. So they were like, let's try, this is before Dr. No, they're like, let's try and get a story down that would be good for a movie. So the three of them came up with this. The idea gets scrapped of doing that screenplay, and they're like, meh, let's do whatever, fuck, okay. So then Ian Fleming's like, well, I need to write another book.
No, it was,
hell, I say, I need to write another book.
Perhaps if I just, what's this?
I had a golden typewriter. I'm not a megalomaniac at all. No.
Perhaps if I just put this next to my walking sticks. Yes. Thunderball.
Then on to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Written by Ian Fleming. Only. I put only there. No
it's
one will ever.
It's pronounced Iron Flyming. Don't you see?
So he writes Thunderball, which is essentially the story that they all came up with together and releases it as a novel.
Gotcha. Prior to the movie.
Prior to the movie coming out.
Okay.
Kevin McClory sees that. Other guy sees that and they go,
And, okay, you know, I see where they're coming from.
Of course.
Yeah.
Lawsuit. Mm-hmm. The guys at Eon Productions, they want to make Thunderball be the first movie. That's the plan is to make Thunderball the first James Bond movie. But they're like, oh, fuck, this is happening with this lawsuit. Let's do something else.
But even when Thunderball comes around in a movie and all of the features I've watched, I get the feeling like they're like, you know, will this be a problem, Ian? And he's like,
no, absolutely not. I can't see why any problem at all.
This is a story. Yes. I was there. I heard the story. I wrote it down. Cigarillo. That's how stories are made. Would you like a cigar?
Yes. So they make Kevin McClory executive producer,
here's what happens. Soul James Bond, huge success. Dr. No happens. Goldfinger happens. Blah, 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 blah. They're like, we'd really like to do Thunderball. I don't want the chance of this Kevin McClory character going off and making his own Thunderball. So we'll bring him in.
Yeah.
We'll be the executive producers. This is Albert and Cubby Broccoli and Saltzman. We'll bring him in as a producer. This will kind of shut him up. We'll pay him some money. We'll get this movie made.
Yeah.
That'll be that. We'll dust, you know,
I think it was
set.
Like a 10-year
yes.
thing.
Yes. He couldn't touch it. He couldn't do anything with it for 10 years after they made that movie.
Which also seems weird where they're like just, oh, I'm sure 10 years no one's ever going to.
Yeah. James Bond's not going to be viable by then.
Well, I'll be dead by then. Yeah. There's no way.
So... Thunderball comes out.
Does really well.
Does extraordinarily well. I'm sure it made Kevin fairly wealthy. I'm sure it made the Broccolis more wealthy and Saltzman. But this guy doesn't go away after 10 years. 10 years happens. He goes, well, now I can do it again. Mm-hmm. Here's Thunderball again. they decide to sue him again. Rigmarole, judge rules. You know what, McClory? You did come up with a story. You can use it. You own the story of Thunderball.
Some of these characters like Blofeld.
Spectre. That's why we haven't seen Spectre again pop up. Really,
gotcha.
After that 10-year,
but he couldn't use James Bond.
He could.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets the rights to anything in the story.
Yep.
He doesn't get exclusive rights to Bond.
Yeah. So here's what happens now. Some more legal fighting. This is now... So 10 years after this would be 1975. Then that's when Kevin McClory decides, I'm going to do my own movie. And then there's some bullshit legal shit happening. And then finally a judge says, yeah, you can do it. You can make your own movie. And then he goes out and gets Sean Connery to be in it. And that becomes Never Say Never Again.
And at this point, Sean Connery, I think, is basically like, fuck Broccoli and Saltzman, they've screwed me. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
What was it he said on Carson when Carson
said, when Carson
what's
said, what's your who's your favorite Bond villain? Sean Connery said, Cubby Broccoli.
Whoa.
Shots fired.
Because of money?
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I look at it like the whole time, I think that it just should have, they should have paid him.
Yeah.
They should have paid him.
Yeah.
They want to keep him around, they should have paid him. Yeah. I mean, they were all making so much money. that it wouldn't have done anything.
And they were just basically like, oh, we don't have
no,
to pay you more money.
You signed this contract.
Which does seem different because they seem to take care of their own. I don't know. I'm wondering if he just kind of was.
If he rubbed them the wrong way?
Yeah, or something. Because they would take care of everybody so well. And I don't know. Well, we may never know.
We might never know.
It depends. Some people will take care of people as long as they don't ask for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm pointing at you.
Is it me? Is that who you're referring to? Jeez. That explains a lot.
There
about
are
the movie
people
theater.
Out there.
I sat next to you in the movie theater and I never asked for anything. Yeah. I just had a
Scott,
look.
Scott, you've dealt with difficult actors as a producer. When you're doing that, when you're in your brain, are you like, well, fuck you. I'm never working with you again.
I mean, if they're bad enough, then you'll definitely be like, I don't want to deal with it. You know, it's like, why the headache? I mean, they might have also been like, which, you know, you could look at today with Batman or whatever. It's like they might have been like, fuck you, we don't need you. Like right. James Bond is a is an idea,
but I feel like
as opposed to being
this,
an actual.
They did do that.
I feel like this was sort of the lesson. I feel like this sort of paved the way of like, maybe it's not a terrible idea to renegotiate with these actors. And I think that's sort of what led to, like, what we have now with the Robert Downey Jr. situation of, like, yeah, we'll give you nothing for the first movie, but you renegotiate, sure, we'll pay you, because we need you in this movie, because people need to see you. And I think that's sort of what hurt. I would love to have seen it on Her Majesty's Secret Service with Sean Connery in it.
Oh, wow.
Because that script is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would love to have seen him in that movie, because I think he earned the right to
But he might have at that point been, like, fuck you, you gotta pay me like a ass load of money.
Well, he did get $1 million for
$1.2 million
for Diamonds Are Forever, which is 1971.
Was he basically just when he was done, was he done, or is he just like, I don't want to do this anymore?
He was being mobbed in Japan like crazy during You Only Live Twice.
Yeah, I think the problem was that they shot it in Japan.
Maybe.
And so you blame it on the Japanese?
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, sure, yeah, that's didn't. Number one. I mean, Hello Kitty, Japanese people.
What's the studio?
Sean Connery retiring from James Bond.
There's a studio that's kind of responsible for getting him back that he really liked Connery and was kind of couldn't understand why.
The United Artists guy, right?
Yeah, David something.
The guy in all those documentaries.
But he didn't really speak. Connery didn't really speak to the producers much on Diamonds Are Forever because he was so sick of dealing with them.
It was very. It's an interesting tale, and a lot of it's sort of explained nicely in the Everything or Nothing documentary.
Yeah, it is.
Which
it's
is
a good
it might
watch.
Be on Netflix right now still.
It is.
Okay.
But it's really an interesting watch because they even cover the whole Thunderball thing.
The lawsuit.
Yeah. So in 2006, anyway, that finally got resolved. And Eon bought it, correct?
And they somehow ended up with the Casino Royale rights, too. Was that the same suit?
Yeah. I don't understand.
They wrapped they got everything.
Well, what
back.
Happened was they were going to do in the late 90s. I don't know if you remember in the late 90s, like 97, 98, Sony was ready to go with another series of James Bond movies. Sony
a
was going to make.
Series?
Yeah, Sony was going to make
that.
A rival series with
based
Liam
on
Neeson.
The.
Yeah. Oh based
God.
On the lawsuit
based
with Kevin
on
McClory,
the lawsuit.
And they were like, okay, Kevin, yeah, come on over here to Sony. We can figure this out. And they were going to do a rival series of Bond movies.
Oh, my God.
And that created that third lawsuit that lasted till 2006.
Wow.
Thank God it all worked out.
Yeah,
we're all
pretty happy. Guys, as exciting as the tale behind this movie is, let's talk about the complete opposite.
Yeah, the movie.
The movie itself.
Except for Luciana Paluzzi.
Oh, she is so hot.
Which one?
Fiona Volpe,
the redhead.
Femme Fatale.
Oh, she was the Femme Fatale. She wasn't the... I was a little confused.
Me too.
The boobs are very similar. I was a little bit confused where it's like, you're talking the one that always wears a headscarf?
Yes.
Yes.
The one that goes, Mr. Bond, James Bond?
Yeah. So,
I loved that.
Oh, so
I loved
that. The one that was in that completely like just another scene that nothing happens where she picks him up in the Mustang randomly.
Yeah, and they drive almost 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's just a show.
And it's like it's building, and then all of a sudden she just pulls up in front of the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to be like, this is very suspenseful. What's going to happen to James Bond? And then, oh, nothing. It's like a little misdirect.
But it's not, because she's in the car. What's she supposed to do?
Also, this movie... I think, just like every James Bond movie, really is just a series of ridiculous coincidences.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I don't want to jump that far ahead. Okay, so let's All right. Underwater landing lights. I wrote that down. Capitalize underwater. The plan is to replace this guy who's going to be flying this plane with two nuclear bombs on it. So they have a guy that gets plastic surgery. For 2 years, he does lessons, and then he tries to extort more money out of Spectre, which I feel like Spectre would be like, you're doing it right, buddy. It's in our name.
I did like that little exchange. Like, yeah. Who else are you going to get? Exactly. Or what do they say? Like, oh, you're the only one that can do it. Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Plus, they should have been like, well, you know, it's extortions in our name. You were,
yeah.
Buddy,
you're showing great initiative.
You are doing a great job.
Yeah.
We got some opportunities for you afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, he takes the plane. The plane is knock out people with the gas, which is handed to him by Fiona. And then she says, this is the gas. It works very quickly. Like what you just saw. Like what you just used. And the plan is, let's get on this plane. So they get on this plane that has two nuclear warheads on it. They're flying it. It's a NATO plane, so everybody gets to be involved. Mm-hmm. I don't think NATO has a nuclear arsenal, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The plan is put this gas in there. So apparently on these bombers, there's just a little spot for you to stick gas.
Oh, yeah,
that
sure.
goes into the air system. Sure. The old container into the dashboard trick.
There's another one for Tang.
Yeah.
And then just like...
You guys thirsty? Yeah. You guys thirsty? I just got to put in a Tang. Is everybody ready?
Who's that?
That's the guy that sits up front.
Oh, the Tang
That's
guy?
That's the guy that sits up front that like
the
is...
The Tang that...
He's like the hookah.
Mess hall officer.
He's the hookah guy. You guys, I'm going to go cherry.
Oh,
guys, you want cherry air?
No, we're not thirsty.
Guys, I'm just going to put it in this. Scott, what do you want?
You know what? I'm just going to take us down into the ocean.
No. It's all right, guys. No, I'll put chocolate. Down. You want chocolate? No. It's nice. It's a little bitter,
prepare
but
prepare for impact.
I'm just going to put it in here.
No.
It's like Febreze. that guy is my new favorite character. Okay, so... This underwater thing lands. They cover it up.
Why don't they build a run?
Why do they build a runway?
Because they want.
Well, they just want put lights. Like, why not just have like something? They just put lights in the water, right?
I think it's very clever to do it underwater. Mm. You know, no one's gonna see it.
Yeah,
it's true.
You know, they're just gonna do the thing and cover it up. They covered it up nicely. They put the netting over.
They fucking covered it up for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
it was like that scene was so long. I was like, they're like
every underwater scene in this movie is as long as that scene in Star Trek: The Motion Picture when they first get to the Enterprise.
I wrote down that this scene has portions of silence that equal 2001, but without the gravitas or something. It just there's so
well, it's
many
just like
skill.
Guys like nailing stakes in. It's we get it. It's a fucking tarp.
Yeah, we can do without that.
It's a tarp that they spent 20 minutes covering.
Well, they needed to show you everything. They took a few steps back in the world of editing.
And then I wanted to understand like why, because later on in the movie, James Bond's like, "We've got to find it." Like he's obsessed with finding the plane, and then it's like, why? Like, what does it matter?
Well, he just wanted to be. He
like
wanted,
we've watched much of the movie.
But from the logical standpoint of James Bond and Q, or rather not Q, MI6, they want to be sure that they have the nuclear weapons because they could just be using the coincidence of this plane going down to extort the money.
Okay.
So they want to find the plane. They want to find out if the bombs are on it. If the bombs are on it, they're like, "Great, we did it." Good job, everybody. If the bombs aren't there, they're like, fuck, we might have to pay them $100 million. Pounds. Sorry, pounds. So Bond goes and decides, I'm going to play Baccarat again.
Yeah.
I just want to say that at the 40-minute mark, it's 40 minutes when I paused, was when they finally were like, here's Operation Thunderball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 40 minutes, and they're basically like, this is what the movie's about, sort of. It takes forever.
Oh, I wrote down Bond.
Think about.
I wrote this down, and then I didn't remember what the fuck it meant until just now. I wrote down Bond doing some casual spying with the old Shawshank. What I meant by that was he cut out a book and put a tape recorder in instead of a hammer.
Oh, the scene where he basically, like, he's recording.
Yeah, he recorded the room.
He records the room, and then there's foot.
Yeah.
I really checked out, because I'm
not
going
to lie to you, guys. I kind of enjoyed that. I enjoyed the playing the tape and watching, and the camera following where the footprints would be.
I don't even remember this.
He comes back after doing something by a pool, and then he opens a book next to the phone, and there's a reel to reel, which based on the size of that tape would record like 20 minutes. I mean, let's be honest. But he hits play, and then he hears somebody jimmy the door.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of walking with the recording to pace out. Oh, he went here and then here. And then the CIA guy shows up. CIA guy shows up at the door, and he's like, "Hey, James." And he punches him in the gut.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Felix. Yeah.
Why would he do that?
Beach bum Felix.
He couldn't just go.
Yeah.
I think a CIA guy would know one hand over the mouth of being, let's be quiet.
Yeah. And then he goes to the bath. He's like, shh. And then he goes to the bathroom. There's a guy in the thing with a gun. I don't know how he doesn't notice that he comes in. He turns on the water, which scares the guy.
Oh, he turns it on, but he turns on the hot water.
Which doesn't immediately come out hot.
No,
I mean, I'm sorry.
You don't know what's going on over there in
1965.
NASA.
And then he beats the guy up.
Yep.
And then he lets him go.
Yeah, sends him back to send a message to his friends.
That's right.
And then that guy drives back to see, what's the guy? Who's the patch guy?
Largo.
Largo. He goes to Largo's house, and then he gets thrown.
Oh, yeah.
He smacks him in the face, and then they throw him into the shark. The shark pool.
To establish that there's a shark pool.
Yeah.
I remember it
which
all.
Is then
I'm not saying I don't remember it all. I'm just saying I was bored out of my mind.
I checked out. I have to admit, I'm
I completely
embarrassed to say.
Have
okay, so
committed every single frame to memory.
Thank
I'm
you.
So sorry,
wow,
Scott. I'm so sorry. Okay, so now that Bond has been spied on, Felix has shown up. They're aware that some shit's going down here. So what do they do when some shit's going down? Well, they send everybody's favorite quartermaster, Q, to the scene.
Yeah.
Q shows up with an attitude towards James Bond as though James has been fucking his wife for years.
Well,
and he has just found out about
it. There's a lesser-known Ian Fleming manuscript that deals with just that.
It was actually also called Thunderballs. but I found that really...
Is that the first instance of him being so, like, you're a petulant child?
In Goldfinger, they were kind of like, no, pay attention, 007.
Yeah, come on.
I never joke about my work. And there's just a little bit of that play. But when this happens, when he gets there, he, like, I just felt the disdain on the screen. I thought it was a weird character change to happen so quickly, or seemingly quickly. No one else thought that was weird? Fuck you guys.
Maybe he thought it. Maybe it was because he was aware that Bond was more rapey.
Yeah.
And he was less.
Now, try not to rape this camera, Bond.
Or what if Q goes to that therapy hospital a lot and that woman works on him and Q has a big crush on her?
Yeah, yeah.
She mentioned to him during one of Q's sessions that, do you know that James Bond? Well, I don't want
yes,
to be indelicate,
I know him.
But he sort of roughed me around the glass room. Where
what do you mean?
Buttocks went up against it and just that's all you could see.
The next time he does that, blow into this. It's called a rape whistle.
What?
Yes.
I don't know.
It looks like an ordinary ballpoint
pen,
but
rape
it's actually
me?
A
don't.
Rape whistle.
I'm calling James Bond.
No,
no.
I'm trying to help
Bond,
you.
Bond,
oh,
he's
God
to
damn
rape
it.
Me.
James! Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Well, we like to sometimes be.
That would have been a better scene than anything in Thunderball.
Now pay attention. This is actually a rape whistle. Okay, so what is he giving? Okay, here's what he gets. Here's what Q gives him. We have seen a movie with the amazing Aston Martin DB5 that shows back up here. So what we're expecting is something super awesome, but what we get is not.
Mm-hmm.
We get an underwater camera.
Yes, a Geiger camera.
It shoots
camera.
Eight
It's a Geiger
photos.
Camera. Eight photos in rapid fire. A rapid succession.
So close that so rapid that they look like the same photo.
Now, what you'll notice here is that they'll all be blurry.
Because it's just been waterproofed. It doesn't shoot well underwater.
But it's an infrared lens, so that's something, right? Now pay attention. Here's a watch. Now, what he gets handed is the Breitling Geneva. The only time James Bond has ever worn a Breitling.
Really?
All right, I'm a big fan of watches and
He's
James
got
Bond
the,
watches.
Omega.
For now, I'm wearing the Omega Seedmaster Professional. This is the choice of Brosnan through Craig in the first movie. Mm. Now, this Breitling. Only time James Bond's ever worn a Breitling. So James Bond has worn the following watches. He's worn a Rolex Submariner. That's pretty much his watch of choice in the early movies. This Breitling, the Omegas, a Seiko,
What? When did he have a Seiko?
He had Roger Moore had a Seiko because it was the first. It was the first digital watch.
That's right, and it's red. Look, I got a Rolex. Yeah. Check that out.
That's nicely amazing. Done, Roly bling. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you want to buy the same year Rolex Submariner that James Bond currently is wearing in this movie, and if you want to buy that online with that strap, it'll cost you $64,000.
No shit.
And that's not the one he wore. It's just a Rolex.
It's like a version of that.
$63,000 in my watch fund that I've... Oh, my God.
Is that... yeah, I don't know that I'd ever drop that kind of change on a watch. But anyway, so this Breitling went missing.
What?
No one knew what happened to this Breitling.
The one that he wore?
Yeah, the one that James Bond wore. Guy at a yard sale this year in England picks up this Breitling, goes, huh. Sees that there's some weird modifications done to it, asks to buy it from the thing, and the guy's like, yeah, sure, $15 or whatever. I was like, maybe it was like $100 because it was a Breitling, so maybe it was like £100. This is in England. Then he gets it checked out, and they realize this is the missing James Bond Thunderball Breitling.
No shit.
Yeah. And it went into an auction, and I never found out how much it made. Katie, is there any chance you could look that up for us? James Bond Breitling yard sale auction. I'm sure that'll bring up something. But that's pretty insane, right?
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
If that happened to you, would you sell it?
No. Would you sell it or you keep it?
I'd keep it, yeah. I'd wear it. I'd be like, check this out.
I'd keep it for a while, then I'd sell it.
I'd sit on it,
rainy
do some
day.
Buzz. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's your slush
fund. That's when you can go stay at the Golden Eye Estate. You cash out.
$160,380. That's how much he sold it for.
Jeez.
The watch that he bought for a couple £100.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Does it say how much he bought it for?
No. I think that is interesting, though. I mean, you've seen a couple of Breitling anyway, there's watch nerds out there, and sometimes they care.
And you're one of them.
Yeah.
There's watch nerds in here.
Is that the sound of a watch nerd? Excreting.
Guys, I have 4 Omegas at home and 1 Breitling.
Do you really?
Yep.
So you have a Breitling?
Wow.
Is it modeled after the one that...
No, it's a Breitling Colt.
And you bought all of them because of James Bond?
Well, I bought the Breitling because one of my Omegas was in for service and I didn't have...
But you how are you going to live for 2 weeks without your...
You see this tan line?
No, but I see your hair has just been
turned
to mange under there. What is going on?
Anyway.
I'm jealous. I'm only speaking out of jealousy. That's all it is.
I mean,
the only Bond memorabilia I own is this shirt that I made.
The MV Disco Volante?
Yeah.
Volante.
What is that? Can I ask what that means?
Marine Vessel Disco Volante.
Yeah, that's the name of Largo's boat.
This is what all these little sailor henchmen wear.
Yeah.
You see it in the movie.
And
I know, it's just so weird that they're wearing some of it, because all you really see is the word disco.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, I would like everyone listening to know that when Omega services a watch, it takes like 3 months.
Oh, my God.
It's a long time to go without a watch.
Wow. And you had a cell phone at that time?
I have to go.
I see.
You mean June? Mean in June?
When this shirt has to go into the laundry, I go buy a Tom Ford suit.
Because it takes 3 months to launder.
It does in my household.
Gorley, I like watches.
No, I'm only jealous. That's all it is.
Don't worry. You can do it, too. It's not that expensive. You just got to sit and wait for the right eBay auction. Also, I hate the Breitling, so if you want it, let's talk. You can have it.
All right.
It's too small for my big...
But you bought the Breitling because it had been in a James Bond movie. It wasn't like you chose it.
No, I chose the Breitling just on its own because I like Breitlings. It's the choice of pilots.
He just gave you a little touch there.
I know. He wanted me to calm me down.
It's the choice of pilots.
It's like, Scott,
more than I ever get here on the podcast.
Oh. Okay, man.
There it is.
Phoebe is very physical. podcast.
We don't stop until our erections go down.
Yeah.
That's
we have a mic set up where it's like we can massage each other and then we switch and
this is
Thunderball, huh?
Yeah.
I call it Thunderball.
The best line in Thunderball though is that gun is made for a woman. Do you know anything about shooting? No, but I know a little about women. I loved that.
Oh, exchange. That was a great line. Yeah. Yeah, he goes to Vargas's house.
My favorite thing in the whole movie is who is the weird guy?
Vargas? Yes.
Vargas.
Yeah, yeah.
He is my favorite part.
He's great.
That
He's
scene
so
where,
weird.
What's his, the patch guy?
Yeah, Largo.
Is, what does he say to
he
him?
He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke.
What does he do?
He doesn't make love. What does he do?
And then he just sits there really awkward. He doesn't say anything. It's so bizarre.
What? Let's talk. What does Vargas do? What is he into? I have that written down, too.
Well, it was so weird because it was almost like he kind of wouldn't make eye contact, yeah. And he was like sort of shamed because he doesn't do things.
He's an idiot savant, but what he's a savant at is killing people.
I guess so.
I don't know. He's
but crazy. He doesn't really kill anyone.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't.
He throws those concussion grenades into the water.
But did you see how he throws those too?
Yeah.
Like a girl throw, and he just tosses them in. The other guys are chucking him down there. He just does this little shoulder lob.
Does he say a word in the whole thing?
Does he?
I don't know if he does.
I feel like he does.
He's my favorite scene in the whole movie is when that guy that exchange where he's like, he doesn't make love.
Yeah.
It's like, what
it's
does
so
he?
It's so good.
It's just so bizarre, out of nowhere.
And the way when you get to the thing where Vargas is going to shoot Bond at that nightclub, that outside nightclub, and he puts Fiona in front of him and she gets shot.
Yeah.
But the way he brings the gun from behind the curtain, like no human would do, just solely for cinematic reveal. Because who would ever line someone up in there? He's shooting low from the hip, so he's doing one of these like this. Yeah.
He also just sticks it. It's sticking out from the curtain, and he's just like sitting there for so long.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be sticking out.
It's waiting for the music to crescendo.
That I love that. I do love that scene.
I like that scene too.
Which is
I like I like the preceding thing where basically they're parked in the car and the drunk Jamaican guy is just like, "Oh, that rum, have some," and he sticks his like they got Bond and he's waving the thing and he smacks the rum bottle and then she's lighting a cigarette at the same time and he lights it on fire and then he gets shot and you're like,
that's right.
And then he gets shot and he runs to the parade.
That girl in the red dress that he takes up to the dance floor first, she's in Casino Royale. She's at the table when he's first playing.
Oh, really?
In the Bahamas.
The one who's like, you should have told me your wife.
Yeah.
When Fiona comes up.
Yeah. Did you know that?
That's, what's her face? That's in the two movies?
Hmm?
Oh, she's not in a red dress. Who's in the red dress? No, what I'm talking
she's
about,
just
I'm
a...
talking about the, she's, oh, she's not the main girl that he decides to fuck.
Where are you?
I'm in Dr. No. In my head.
No, I'm talking about Thunderball. When they go to that outdoor
Kiss, kiss,
dance.
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he brings that girl up in the red dress, and then Fiona comes up, and then the girl in the red dress goes, oh, you're married or whatever? That girl is in Casino Royale. That lady.
Oh, my brain, when you said Casino Royale, was like, okay, Casino Royale is far too late for her to be still alive, so I'm going to go ahead and put her in Dr. No, and assume that
you were
meant
thinking
that.
Sylvia Trench?
Yeah, I was thinking
Sylvia
Trench.
She's in Casino Royale. She's at the poker table in
really?
The Bahamas, yeah.
Oh, the Bahamas poker table.
Yeah,
she's
not, got glasses on.
She's not the United Benetton of weird-looking poker players that is at Casino Royale's main tournament.
No, the CD-ROM game. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the most boring movie in the world has some more underwater stuff. Bond's got to go investigate, okay? And when Bond investigates, he does it real slow.
Oh, and he goes to look at the disco...
Disco Volante?
And take, and take pictures? Take eight photo, blurry
and
photographs?
Women in molasses.
In rapid succession.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that.
This is honestly where my notes stop until the end, because it's just a lot of underwater.
Well, I think there's some interesting stuff, because when he goes to... when he decides, I'm going to go to Largo's house. Oh, after he... This is after he takes those pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
He takes the pictures. He takes the pictures. Then he's up in the helicopter, and he basically is like,
"I'm gonna go there."
He's 5 feet from Largo's house. He's like, "That's Largo's house." And then he's like, "My next stop." And then
port of call.
And then he pulls up, and then that's when the scene happens when he's He's like talking about Vargas, which is my favorite scene in the movie.
What does he do? I want a Vargas spinoff.
Now, he visits the house, and then he has to go... Why does he go back? He goes back because that girl gets taken?
No, he goes back just to like investigate, and that's when he like
drops his gun and becomes the worst spy of all time.
He drops his gun, becomes the worst spy, and then him and the guy fall in the pool, and they close the pool cover.
Yeah, and they're very careful not to get crushed by no pounds of pressure.
Yeah, they close the pool cover and they release the sharks. He's like, opens the gates, and then they open the gate, and the shark starts to swim in, and then Bond stabs the guy he was fighting underwater.
Yeah.
He puts on his the thing that Q gave him, the breathing apparatus for four minutes.
This is a breathing apparatus. You'll have 4 minutes of oxygen.
And then he basically just... It's pre-Jaws, so it's like, I don't know how scary sharks are, but it's like, he just sort of swims up to the... He opens the hatch. Mm-hmm. That's the weird part. They open the hatch on one side. James Bond opens the hatch on the other side. And apparently, they had no way to open the hatch. So technically... The only way the sharks got into the pool was because James Bond opened the hatch. And then it swims by him. And then he... Remember?
Well, I can tell you...
Yeah, but even hearing this, it's like, this is all happening in 20 minutes.
They didn't tell him that the shark was going to be there, Connery. And this could be part of the reason why he didn't like doing movies
Are you
anymore.
Kidding?
The first take, it was some kind of accident, or they didn't tell him. I can't remember what it was, and he got really pissed.
Oh, like he opened the door.
And when he recoils as Bond, that's really Connery.
Oh, maybe that was the broccoli's going like, just send him. Do it for real.
I think it might. Well, the stunt guy or something. I don't know.
That's when I made in my notes underwater bullshit this time with sharks.
They swim. Well, there's the other underwater stuff, and they discover the plane, and he basically is like, shoot one of them.
Yeah.
And then the other ones will, to distract him.
From the helicopter.
Yeah. And then, and he doesn't know how long it'll last. But he swims through the tunnel with the sharks. Mm-hmm. He gets on the other side, and then he leaves.
But then he gets out of there.
That's it.
I wrote down, he gets out of there, then he goes and fucks Fiona, but she's all like, oh, no, you didn't. My notes got real tricky.
Mine too. We have not done our due diligence.
Well, it's so hard to sit through.
I cannot
wait till the day we do a live commentary for this movie. No.
It all blurs. It blurs together a lot. Yeah. Although, like, yeah, he leaves. He goes back.
Well, he fucks Fiona, right?
Yeah.
And then they sort of like try to one up each other about who cared less about the fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I totally fucked you, but I didn't care. And she's like, oh, well, listen, you thought I cared because I didn't fucking care even a little bit. I cared less than you about fucking you. And then he's like, well, I fucked you, but didn't really care. I less than that, even.
I faked my orgasm.
Then she takes a gun. Then he goes for his gun.
And then the other guys come in. And
he opens the door. He opens the door like in a sketch. Like when you open the door and like a shark is there or something, you know, like a land shark, and then he closes the door and goes, you're not going to believe what's behind this door.
Oh, I forgot that part.
Well, that's when he gets taken into the car and then meets the...
Yeah, and then they go through the parade
guy,
and then they
and
go to kiss, like, bang, bang.
Yeah, and then my favorite, I loved the way she got killed.
Yeah.
I love the way she got killed, and I also enjoyed the way that he put her down at the table with that couple.
With the couple, yeah, and he's like, she's my friend now. She's just dead.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. I love it. I love Sean Connery's dumb puns.
There's another really bad one in this movie. I forget what it is. I don't remember.
Okay.
Well, he says something when he kills.
Then bam,
Vargas later on.
I think he got the point. Was that what it was?
Yes.
Oh, hang on. I wrote that down. Because then we have Fiona dies. Then here's my notes exactly. Now we have long bullshit underwater. Then he runs into Domino for some reason underwater. Mm-hmm. Then they fuck. You can tell because of the air bubbles.
Yeah, they meet up and then they go behind a rock and then they come together. They drop down behind a rock, and then all these bubbles go up to represent that, like, obviously...
They're fucking...
He started intercourse.
He ejaculates.
I wrote down she queefed. It was ridiculous. Okay, and then I wrote down, then he kills What's-His-Face with a spear gun, and then says, I think he got the point.
Yeah.
Which...
But I will say I was really disappointed, because I really liked Vargas. But then I'm like, you send your henchmen... He basically just drives up. He walks he walks. He stands in plain sight with like a handgun, and then she goes like, "Oh,
there's Vargas."
Yeah,
and then he turns around.
You have a point.
And shoots him with a spear gun.
But by the way, it's a very good casual killing by Bob.
It is.
It is.
So he has sex with Domino and then decides to come up on Shore.
Underwater
tell,
sex.
Yeah. And then yeah. tell her that her brother's dead.
Yes. And
well,
hands her the
I mean,
watch
he doesn't want to ruin
and the
mood.
Dog tags.
Right.
He doesn't
yeah, want to and then say, the I need you to help me. Stop sniveling. I need your help.
And then she says, promise me you'll kill him. Mm-hmm. And then his reaction is he kisses her.
And then I wrote down.
Yeah. He doesn't actually
and
say.
And she has to kill him.
She kills him.
Yeah.
But she's glad she killed him.
I love that.
That is her
guys,
line.
Guys, we're not there yet.
Sorry, sorry.
We're not there yet.
Sorry, sorry. Let's get there,
because
though.
My next, after you get the point, my next note was, oh my God. That's the only word I don't remember what happened, but I wrote down, oh my God.
Hmm.
She tells him, she's like, randomly, like, she goes, promise me you'll kill him, and he kisses her, and then she's like, I don't know if this will help, but there's a bridge that fucking Patchy McPatch has a thing, and they go over there like that. She just randomly pulls this like the next scene out.
Yeah. yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So then he goes underwater.
Well, then he goes to the bridge. He punches guy. He dresses up. He goes under. It's not even an underwater lab. It's like a cave. It's like a little cave where the bombs are. And then for 20 minutes, they load the bombs onto the orange bobsled.
Slowly and meticulously.
Yeah, because they're atomic.
So he's given her the camera that it's a Geiger counter. It'll click, and if it clicks, the bombs are on board. Then walk upstairs.
It counts Geigers.
How many Geigers are on this boat? So, yeah. But,
oh, that's my fucking favorite. That was my other favorite part where she has the fucking Geiger counter and she drops it and then fucking...
Disco Volante Largo. Captain.
Yeah.
But Largo comes up and he's just like, oh, he's all pissed off and he grabs her and he fucking throws her and he pulls the strap off her arm.
Yeah.
Which is like, and then he's, and then he goes, and then he's like, he's going to torture her and he's like
hot
and cold.
Scientifically and applied. Scientifically applied.
He's got a fucking handful of ice cubes.
Does that mean? How? There's no science to that. What the fuck is he saying? I wrote down a big letter, scientifically applied.
It's not even that. Like, if I tied you up right now and I fucking said, like, I'm going to fuck you. And you're just like, think of all the bad shit I could do to you. And I had a cigarette and a handful of ice cubes.
A cigarette you were, like kind of already smoking anyway. Yeah.
Whatever he does to me with a cigarette will be soothed by the ice. That'll help.
Science dictates. Yeah, okay. So this is when some shit's going down. Then we see the guy that they have gotten to be the bomb guy.
Mm-hmm.
The little nerdy guy.
Yeah, yeah, little
the
nerdy guy.
Nerdy guy.
Who is essentially playing the same character as the guy in The Dark Knight Rises that is the only guy that can turn the thing into a nuclear bomb.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Same guy.
I'm sorry on that.
But
before that, remember when Bond goes, when he goes to the bridge and then he goes to where they get the bombs? And then he gets trapped on the island, and basically he's sitting in a cave, and fucking
He also
the CIA guy is like flying. CIA guy is flying in the helicopter, and they're like, "We gotta find James." And then James shoots the flare, which is another thing that Q gave him.
Yeah,
But he also took the pill. Remember
the homing pill? Yeah.
Oh, was right that what that, it was?
That's right. When he got out of the water, and his shorts were soaking, and he goes down one set of stairs, and they're bone dry. Bone dry.
Well, I mean. Who knows? It could have been Nike Dry Fit. Thanks, guys.
This guy with his Nikes and his Omegas.
It's Omega. I'm going to say Omega for the rest of my
life. I only say that because that's how Bond says
it. That's how Daniel Craig says it. Whatever. I understand that the English people invented the language and thusly can pronounce things correctly, and we don't, but come on. It's Omega.
Okay.
Let's be honest.
All right.
Are we honest with each other?
Yeah, I suppose so.
All right. Because do you... think of it as a jaguar or a jaguar.
It's a jaguar. I wear an Omega watch and drive a Jaguar UR.
Jaguar E-Type. The E is for elitism. Okay. This now begins the least exciting, longest climax in the history of films.
It's true.
Bar none.
Yeah.
Is it?
You cannot tell me there's a more or less boring climax.
Because
what happens is he is picked up by Felix. Felix says, "Go, guys, go." They open a carrier plane. They drop a massive amount of personnel out of this thing. They parachute out.
Is this the first Bond army on army fight? Because this recurs a lot. Yeah.
Have you in your life ever seen a movie where 20 guys parachute into a fighting situation and been more bored?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Because what happens is they parachute, and as soon as they hit the water, that bullshit slow garbage music starts.
Yeah.
It's so infuriating, because it's not even like, it would have been better if they used that little, you know, the James Bond getting stuff done theme, you know?
Oh, yeah.
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 That thing, whatever the fuck that is. Yeah. But they don't. They use the underwater music, and I wish that I could pull up that music and play it for you.
Well, you mentioned earlier the toupee work, or someone did in this, and I'm convinced that there's a short scene in this underwater fight where something had gone wrong with his toupee, and they took a tuft and stuck it into his mask, and everything else is free, but there's just this one little band of hair that is stuck into his mask so it would keep it on his head.
By the way, the big scene, the big climax here, when he's fighting Largo underwater, and his goggles get taken off, and then he's like, I can't do anything, I can't possibly see, and then he just takes goggles off of a dead guy and puts them on underwater.
You can blow it out. You can blow the air out.
Since when?
Since 1972.
Yeah.
Then they made a law.
Thank
that
you.
You could do that.
Thank you, Katie. She agrees with me.
No, you can.
It doesn't
work. Can.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Sure. It's an old. You're not an adventurer like me and Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in a.
She surfs.
With a mask? You surf with a mask on? Oh, so. Listen, guys.
Tell me how
I've
this
killed
works.
A lot of
Tell
men.
Me how this works, because I was very intrigued by this situation / bothered.
Let's Google this, but I'm almost sure you
I'm
can.
I'm pretty
really
sure
do
you
I
can.
Feel like
too,
I've done
have you guys
cool.
ever done it?
I mean, we've done it.
Yeah, yeah.
As
in
far
a movie
as
theater, we've
yeah.
covered that.
I'm not.
Yeah,
I mean,
think I have. I think I.
I think you can
have.
Do it.
Let's.
You have to be able to do
like
it.
A snorkel mask?
Yeah.
Well, how do you
like
do
a
it?
Tight snorkel mask.
How do you do it?
You blow. You use your nose. You go, and it blows the water out.
Yeah. There's a way. There's a way to do it. If not completely all the way out, it's like because underwater, it's like if you do get it in there, there's a way to get it out. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
I'll trust you. I mean, if we're scientifically applying the air to the mask.
We're scientifically... Well, you're creating a pocket.
Here we
scientifically
go.
Applied.
How to clear a scuba mask of water.
Underwater.
Start by holding the top of the mask frame firmly against your forehead. You can do this with one hand placed in the center of the mask frame or finger and blah, blah, blah. Begin exhaling slowly but forcefully through your nose. Then tilt your head up while continuing to exhale. If you have difficulty exhaling from your nose, it helps to imagine that you have some extra sticky, nasty boogers up your nostrils that you will need to blow out. Focus on your imaginary boogers and blow.
And that'll do it?
And well, the internet never lies. But don't email. This is another thing. Don't email in with the.
I mean, I don't mind if you email in. I don't look at it.
I do, though. I answer these emails.
I know.
And
oh, people will say yes or no whether you.
Well, there's
do
there's
it.
Some great, great feedback, and I don't mean to be disparaging of it, but there's some great people that bring great knowledge. But then there are also people that complain that we pronounce Quantum of Solace, Quantum of Solace, or vice versa. Or
You're shitting me.
No, and things like
there's
that.
There's a discussion of solace versus solace?
Well, I mean, I think it's a word that could be pronounced both ways, so it's a preference thing.
Yeah.
So just
Quantum of Solace.
All with right. all due respect, none of that.
Because he is soulless. I get it.
Well, yeah, that was definitely what I was going for. I think I say soulless often, but sometimes I say solace.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Say soulless? I've never heard you say
I've never
it.
Heard so. I've always
heard maybe
solace.
I'm wrong then.
I've always heard solace. Also, I know that the internet and everybody in England assumes that they're just saying ma'am really weird with an accent, but no.
I'm not convinced of that either.
I am
with
not
you, buddy.
At all convinced of that situation. I don't give a fuck if you guys think you pronounce ma'am mum. No one in that movie is saying ma'am.
I think they're saying mum. It's like a term of endearment for M.
Yeah. We are, mom. What mom. We're doing right now, Scott, because this movie sucks, is we are now
it's
talking about
going
previous
off.
Movies. let's before we
up.
Do this, let's wrap
okay.
up this movie.
They have the underwater battle.
Underwater basically, bullshit
like,
battle. The bombs get blah, 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 blah. Everyone's shooting spears. I don't know how that's the best way to
James
kill
Bond
underwater.
Uses his... He Q gives him the tank that has like an orange like dye coming out of the back of it at one point as he rockets
Inconspicuous.
As he rockets through and he's like... slicing or pulling off masks. And
why
stuff.
Is it colored? Why is it colored?
I don't know. But it goes on and fucking on. Remember when he's like going into the yeah. ship?
The best part too is the posture he strikes where he's got one knee yeah. bent and the other. Like, it's like it might as well be a Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous.
But it goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
Then they get up onto the disco. And
the light speed traveling disco volante?
The disco volante that
separates.
Separates.
That's awesome.
It's like Star Trek.
Yeah.
Can
it's like
Adam
a saucer separation.
Again. That was like a G.I. Joe toy. They would all do that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, no, that was, I mean, I enjoyed the concept yeah. of it. Didn't understand why he wanted to release the smoke and then separate. Maybe to make...
To decoy the
to maybe
behind.
To make everybody think that the boat that just came from in front of them that looked an awful lot like the front half of the Disco Volante wasn't the rest of the Disco Volante. I don't know.
I don't know.
And he dumped a bunch of his henchmen, too. They were stuck on the boat.
And they kept fighting.
There's some casual fucking henchmen. When that boat... When that... Watch that movie, just that scene, and watch that half of the Disco Volante blow up. There's a stuntman on there that just... does not move and just goes, oh, I guess I better jump off now.
Really?
After it's already blown up.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. So now we get onto the Disco Volante. James comes in. The nuclear scientist guy has turned. He's a turncoat.
Mm-hmm.
Turned on Spectre. He's helped
Domino get
Domino
untied or whatever.
Because he's probably secretly in love with Domino. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She says, no, he's helped me. He's good. So then James is like, all right, great. I will kill him. And then he gets in a fight up on the bridge. In the meantime, I'm going to guess...
He doesn't see Domino. James gets on the boat,
yeah.
gets right on the bridge,
oh, right.
and starts a slap fight with a bunch of guys for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then right when...
On the bridge, after the ship has entered warp speed.
Yeah, and then it's constantly steering towards rocks, and they're like at the last minute, like when it's 4 feet from the rocks, and then they're still slap fighting.
Yeah.
And then finally, James goes down, and Patchy McPatch dude has the gun on him, and you think he's gonna die, and then he gets speared.
Yeah, and speared in the back.
It's an awesome moment,
and it's Domino.
Yeah,
it is a good moment. I think that's a great moment.
Later, mirrored in For Your Eyes Only, but not quite.
Yes,
yeah.
But now they have to.
Well, he falls.
The controls are jammed
because he falls. He dies. He falls forward under the wheel. And he somehow locks the thing, and they're headed toward the rocks.
Yeah, the controls are jammed, so they gotta abandon ship. Scientist guy can't swim, so James gives him a little life preserver and
says "fuck off."
Throws him in there. They all jump off. Then a ship comes by, drops the raft, and the guy is just left there. The poor guy.
The science guy is left there.
Yeah. He's just left there.
That's right.
He can't swim, and it's probably out in the middle of nowhere.
And they then retrieve him a la Batman. Geez. And
well, now
he sends up like a
Batman does it a la Bond. These are you're coming up with a lot of things where Nolan borrows from Bond.
Oh yeah. So yeah. And that's the movie. That literally is the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, the end of the movie is him holding on. I mean, him holding on to the girl.
Yeah.
Attached to a cable underneath a giant plane.
How do they retrieve the person?
They can't reel him in.
Yeah, it wasn't
with
like
what?
The Batman thing, because it's just on one end is a balloon and the other end is people.
No, that's a real device.
I know it is, but how do they get him in?
But how do you reel him in?
I think then that...
That's how you catch
that
him.
That thing catches... And then I think that thing can reel them up, right? I mean, I assume it would. What the fuck would be the point of it?
It's how you... I mean, like...
You still have to land at 100...
Why do you have a problem with the scuba mask, but not this thing?
Yeah.
Because this thing I've seen in real life.
Oh.
I have not seen a scuba mask.
But have you seen it in 1965? It just looked like it caught it and then basically picked them up.
Yeah, that was an old... That was a thing to retrieve... people off the battlefield.
I know they used to do that, but I always thought it was done in different... I don't know how they... look, I don't know, guys. I just don't know anymore.
I don't think it's important. What's important is that this movie spends 65 minutes underwater.
Yeah.
It's a lot of underwater. And then later on in another Bond movie, don't they get caught on the same kind of raft? But that James Bond is like, well, fucking, we can wait.
Oh, James Bond
is... We can
is,
wait an hour.
James Bond
and
ends...
like, do it.
Yeah, ends like half of the movies
Goldfinger
on a raft.
Does Goldfinger end on a raft, too?
Goldfinger ends on the ground with a parachute, and then they fuck
it up. There is another raft.
Tomorrow Never Dies. There's a raft.
Is there?
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we got through Thunderball.
We did.
We really did.
Boy.
What a piece of interesting cinema.
Yeah. And it's going to get tougher for me. I'm not a You Only Live Twice fan when this.
I like You Only Live Twice.
I like
that Toyota that they turned into a convertible
in the middle.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Is that the which one's the
Volcano Lair?
No, which one's the one set in like New Orleans or
Living Let Die? Yeah.
Is that okay?
Living Let Die. The best James Bond theme.
This one was not good. I kept texting Matt.
No, it wasn't.
Oh my god,
it's a rough
really,
one.
Really, really not exciting.
I have noticed a lot of correspondence where people are excited to hear this because they really like this film. So I'm curious about that. It's never been a favorite of mine.
I don't care for it. I know that a lot of people out there like it. And I can see there are glimpses of really cool things that
there's
might
some good
happen.
Scenes.
Yeah,
like, I actually really, really think somebody could take that movie and just like you could cut that thing down and make it into something that would just be a little bit more gripping. It's just so slow that you're like you never feel threatened.
That's right.
Like, there's no threat whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I could. I guess if you know, in 1965, I guess that would be sort of like the most underwater you had seen on film.
Oh, definitely. And Jetpack, and you're seeing things that were blowing your mind.
So in that sense, I'm sure it was a lot more interesting to us.
Must've
but been. We've grown up in a world where James Cameron goes to the Titanic for fun, and there's a movie about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So it's,
I think about that all the time, that we live in that time all the time.
The director of Terminator goes down to the Titanic.
For fun.
For fun. Just for funsies. Yeah. So that's Thunderball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's address some of the other stuff that we're getting a lot of.
First, let me start on a positive note by saying that I would like to thank Glenn Weldon from Pop Culture Happy Hour for shouting out about our podcast on NPR. Did you know about that?
I did not know about
and
that.
And he's a great guy, and he's an author himself. He wrote Superman, the Unauthorized Biography, which I started to read and only haven't finished because I've been busier than a paisley bedsheet.
I like that a lot. Wow. I like that a lot.
I just
I
had
like
to come
pulse.
Up with something right now. But I can recommend it now. Having only read a little bit, it's fantastic. If you're interested in Superman, that's and thank you, Glenn.
I'll pick it up. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for the shout out. Also, listen to Phoebe while you're at it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, getting a lot of good feedback on these. A lot of, I'm gonna say, bonkers people about this the Goldfinger episode.
Yeah,
we
this
did
is
with
the first
Allie in Georgia
episode we've recorded since that has come out.
Right. Yeah.
People were upset. At
people
the
were very upset because Allie and Georgia sort of took the stance of, wow, look how misogynist this is. And I feel like, accurately so, it was Goldfinger and it was 1964 and it was James Bond.
Yeah.
Of course that's what it was.
Yeah.
And they didn't care for the fact that they pointed that out.
This, yeah, how's best to describe this? Those of you that didn't comment were probably preaching to the choir, but those of you that did, many of them were great, wonderful, insightful comments, but there is it's a podcast, everybody.
Yeah.
It's a podcast.
We're not doing this because we're rolling in money about it.
Yeah.
Like, we make $0 on this podcast. We just do it because we like James Bond. We like to hear what people think about James Bond, and you know, we like to sort of put it out there, sort of like our thoughts on James Bond. We do this genuinely because we love James Bond.
And trust us to do different things with different episodes. And yes, maybe Allie and Georgia got a little acerbic, and it wasn't as fun an episode as the previous ones or the ones after. But isn't that okay?
Yeah.
Aren't we all going to be all right? Babies won't die.
And I've got news for everybody listening to this. I and Matt have talked about having them back to watch Casino Royale because I just want to see what they think of the modern James Bond because I find that interesting.
Yeah.
I find their point of view on the 60s James Bond very interesting, and I would love to know their opinion on this modern Daniel Craigian James
Bond.
Yeah,
and because we had Maria and Amanda on for Casino Royale who loved it so much, and those two were two good counterpoint episodes.
Yeah.
And
point, counterpoint.
And we wanted to do that. We knew we wanted to give both sides when after that first one happened. So again, trust us with that. But it would be fun to have all four of them on if we want to do it.
It would be interesting.
It would be interesting.
It would be interesting.
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But
And
no reason to get disparaging in your comments.
There were people that used the C word.
Yeah.
And you're just, you're an
idiot.
Get
over it. It's
you're
just an a
idiot.
Podcast.
And, yes, so maybe they got a little upset on the podcast. It's just a movie. You could say that, too. We had fun. We liked what they had to say.
It's just a movie and it's just a podcast.
Yeah. Just everybody relax and take a nap and then listen to the podcast.
And if you hate an episode, guess what? Another one's coming.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Right, Scott?
There's always another one coming.
That being said, thank you for listening. And those of you that did write positive things, and even if you wrote...
Are people going to be upset that we called them rapey, or have you done that already?
We've done that.
Oh, no. Oh, okay, I mean, we're all well aware.
But there were people that wrote critical things about
that. So people
that.
Are fine with it being rapey, but they're not okay with it being
As soon as a female points that out, it becomes some fucking crazy, batshit crazy.
It's surprising. But the other thing was that it was not even so much what they were saying. It was like... There were some comments, again, these are just some people that were like, you took the fun out of my podcast. How could you do that?
And oh, right.
There was
right,
an entitlement
right.
oh,
issue.
Oh, the fun
of,
killers?
Yeah, or just like this, nobody's entitled to anything. We appreciate all the listening, but just, you know, tune in. And
technically, I don't know who owns this podcast.
Yeah. God.
God owns this podcast, guys.
Anyway, I don't.
I didn't know that when I signed on because I would.
Oh, you didn't know you were on a controversial podcast.
Oh yeah, this is a.
No, it was. I love Allie and Georgia. They're personal friends, and don't call my friends cunts.
Yeah,
because that's really fucked up.
We wouldn't do that to your friends, comment guy.
Yeah, comment guy 63, pity fucker 97, whatever your name is.
Again, we're probably preaching to the choir, but it is a good lesson about internet comments. You don't always have to sound off.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially if you're going to drop that.
Yeah.
C-word?
If you're going to drop the C-word, I don't know if the Nerdist page has ever seen the C-word in a comment.
Yeah, because I come from the Super Ego podcast where we don't deal with issues or anything like that. It's like a narrative thing, and all we ever get is just discussion about, like, what happened. Like, we don't ever get comments on why or how or anything like that, you know?
Katie, have you ever seen anyone get called a cunt on our boards?
It was twice. Twice it happened.
Yeah. I can delete them. Oh, good. We got rid of one. So there might be just one more sitting up there. I don't understand. I don't know. Yeah. Just have fun. Enjoy the fucking podcast.
Exactly. Because it makes it more I know you didn't have fun on that episode, some of you, but it makes us more
fun
for us.
I had fun doing it.
I did. I don't mean you. I meant the listeners.
Wow.
Some of the listeners.
Well, listen.
But we stop having fun when people start making that weird critical thing like that, you know.
I don't mind. Oh, well, listen, I don't mind critiques. Like, if we're meandering too much or something like that, I don't mind that. But...
No, I just mean those nitpicky
critiques. Don't insult the guests.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, it's Scott. You can insult Scott. That's fine.
Please, oh, I don't care. People do it all the time.
Please do.
Scott
just
doesn't.
Please do.
I want every comment to have the word cunt in it. Just, as many uses as possible.
I
just feel like we had to have a family meeting.
We
don't ever want to have any more family meetings. That's the point.
I don't want any more family
because it's
meetings,
a podcast,
and it makes me feel awkward.
I roll out of bed. Matt comes from the gym. Scott comes from jerking people off at the movie theater.
Yeah, which is a full time job.
And we sit down and we have a good time with it.
Yeah, and that's what we like to keep.
I genuinely love doing this podcast. It's a great
me
podcast.
Too.
It's not. I mean, it's no feed, but
well,
I mean, it's a pretty good podcast.
Thanks for having me and making me watch Thunderball.
Sorry to do that to
you. And
owe you a better
What episode was it where we went off on Thunderball on Phoebe? Do you remember?
I think
was it like
was
three
it,
episodes ago?
I can't remember.
Was it 23? That sticks in my mind.
23, yeah.
I think it was 23.
Yeah, go listen to if you want to hear more of Scott and I. We invented a character, the guy that's from the 60s that's genuinely excited to see underwater footage. And if you want to hear him be excited,
just the amazing.
Go check out Phoebe episode 23. We do some heavy. There's actually James Bond comes up a lot on Phoebe.
Well, I don't know how it wouldn't.
Yeah.
We fucking talk about it all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And even when we're not Phoebing.
Yeah, we do.
No matter where we are. We're got the watches. You got the
laser. So listen to Phoebe. Listen to Super Ego and listen to this, which you're already doing. So that's good.
And James Bonding will return
in
Die
Another Day.
We don't have a guest for this one yet, do we?
No. My girlfriend genuinely loves the movie.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And I'm so confused by that.
I will have a lot to talk about with that movie. Because it may be my favorite Brosnan to watch because it's
You know me, I don't
love the
Brosnans.
So bad. And yeah. Katie,
is that the Lee Tomahori one?
Yeah.
I recommend, Katie, you check it out before we do this podcast because it is that bad.
Yeah.
It's like an episode of How Did This Get Made?
The problem with this movie is that it's as bad as Diamonds Are Forever, but it hasn't dated itself enough that it doesn't feel like a vintage bad movie.
It's just something you can sit and make fun of for hours.
Yeah.
And Halle Berry should have her Oscar taken away for her performance in Die Another Day.
Yeah,
that's true. But shouldn't she technically have her Oscar taken away from every performance other than the one she won
Monsters
for?
Ball. Maybe. Although she's great in Swordfish. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Her boobs are, though.
No, her boobs are great. Her boobs are great as she's walking down the street wherever she is right now. It's like,
she's a new
can't
mommy,
take that
so
away
congratulations,
from her.
Congratulations, Hallie.
You can never take it away from her.
Listen to that. And stuff's happening. Matt and I are discussing possibly doing a live James Bonding.
Should we talk about that at all, or do you want to?
If we talk about it, then maybe Janet and the Colby forced to have us.
you're talking about View to a Killer. You're talking about Sketchfest.
I'm talking about Sketchfest.
Oh, okay.
We figure why not? We'll probably both be up there anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a venue around.
Yeah, and then we've talked about a live View to a Kill because
so many people that want to do a View to a Kill.
Guest episodes, yeah.
It's pretty bonkers. I'm trying to remember who now. It's Hardwick,
Padgett Brewster.
I feel like who else was I talking to that wanted?
Oh, Colin Hanks.
Yeah, Colin wanted to do it too. Yeah, it's so you know.
Yeah. Good.
I really wanted to do Thunderball.
He nailed it.
Well, we're all about making wishes come true. So,
Scott, we'd love to have you come back on sometime if there's Scott, I want you to come back on for Never Say Never Again.
That's not a bad idea.
I've seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
I would watch it again. Kim Basinger, right?
Yeah, it'll be a few. I mean, and Rowan Atkinson is Q, right?
And Klaus Maria Brandauer is maybe one of the best Bond villains ever.
So, look forward to that. We will address Never Say Never Again with three pairs of eyes that have freshly seen Thunderball.
Yeah.
What are we doing to ourselves?
That's a good idea. That's a great
idea. Thanks for bonding.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Do you feel bonded?
I do. I feel like I don't want to leave. I don't want it to stop.
No reason.
Well, we can do a feed right
keep
now.
You, on.
We're behind.
You just want to go to the movies?
Guys, let's all go see Gravity and jerk each other off.
I'll jerk you off during a podcast, too. It doesn't have to.
This is great.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Follow us at James Bonding Pod on Twitter. Follow at Matt Gourley, Gourley. At Scott Mosier is at Smosier. There's no one or anything, right? It's just Smosier.
No.
Follow Smosier. And you can follow me at Matt Myra, Mira. And fucking follow KT Money over there.
KT Money Penny.
I think it's KT Money, right? KT _ Money. Our very own Money Penny. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.